Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
All right, we're here. We're back. We have come back with all 10 of our fingers and every last one of our extremities. So suffice to say, we survived the 4th of July.
Indeed. Yes, that break was much needed. This is going to be a very full episode. If you see the title, you see the picture on the YouTube channel. It is our Superman review, something we've both been super excited for a long time, something we were hoping was going to be a very good movie to save superheroes and everything. We're going to get much into it since it's going to be a full episode. I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech Meets presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right, so quick housekeeping. Next week, we are going to be doing an episode on anime power scaling. So the best and worst power scaling in anime. We are bringing on the Afropuff Samurai, our other co-host. So that's going to be something excited. So stay tuned for that. Meech, anything you got before we hit him with the legal spiegel?
Just that the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media, all sources we reference owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right, getting into it, let's go into the pre-spoiler chat related recommendations. This is essentially the first real movie and the start of James Gunn DC Universe. Technically, the Suicide Squad feeds into this movie, even though the Suicide Squad is technically under DCEU and Peacemaker and all the other shows. But essentially, this is the first launch of James Gunn's vision of his DC Universe.
Yes, and honestly, I say like, hey, we got a lot of faith in him thanks to Guardians of the Galaxy, so it was only a matter of time to see like, okay, how is he going to tackle this universe, one that's based on hope, and of course, like, he had experience with very hopeful characters, in strong comparison to Zack Snyder's verse, which is more based in darkness,
the absolute universe.
Man, that's the Injustice universe at that point, because it is not absolute.
Yeah, so for related recommendations with this, the only thing that I would, you know, there's nothing you really need to watch going into it. I would say that you kind of need to be like vaguely aware of Peacemaker, but at the same time, I wouldn't say that's like something that you have to watch going into this movie.
Yeah, I would kind of agree. It's like, as you say, like, this is kind of like the beginning, so you just have to be tangentially aware of who Superman is, which, if you've seen like Man of Steel, yeah, just go ahead, get that out your head right now. And you, as you mentioned, like, you have to be tangentially aware of who Peacemaker is. So, well, actually, not even just Peacemaker, but the rest of like the kind of like beginnings of this DCU. So like Creature Commandos,
because there's a flag in it, which is going to tie into the next season of Peacemaker. So that's kind of what I was getting at, yeah.
Yeah, so like Creature Commandos, Peacemaker, The Suicide Squad, if you want to. That one's kind of a weird one, because it's like, it's trying to take place in both universes, but it's like, houseway.
Yeah. So with that, before we get into the review, I have to have a get it off your chest about my movie going experience. So in the second episode we ever did on our podcast, we talked about theater etiquette and who should and should not come into the theater. So just as a reminder, if you sleep in movies consistently and you snore, don't come to the movies. That's not who it is. It's going to be the last one that I name. If you get on the phone and talk on the movie in the movie theater, don't come to the movies. Yes, immediately get next stepped. If you decide to do more than canoodle, canoodle plus ultra in the theaters, that was my Barbie experience, you don't need to come to the movies. But for my actual experience, what happened when I saw this movie, which might affect my rating just a little bit, stop bringing your little babies into PG-13 movies and beyond.
No.
Bam. Oh my gosh. So I get to the theater early, right? Get my popcorn, get my slushie. Usually never get a slushie, so I'm like, okay, let me go down, let me use the restroom real quick, clear the bladder, because you know how that goes as you get older. So then I'm walking back up, and so I see the couple, one with the baby, and I'm like, that don't look good. So they say their seat number, and it's a big theater. It's the RPX theater at the
okay.
So it's a huge theater. And they say their numbers, and I'm like, those numbers are next to mine, but there's no way they're in the same row as me. So we're walking up the stairs as this trailer start kicking in, and then they take the turn right on my row, and I'm like, no, please. And they're like right next to me, fam, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's starting, so it's fine. This is still in the trailer section. This baby is cuter than anything that I'm biologically capable of. So I'm like, okay, it's actually quiet for the start of it. Starts getting into the movie, it starts doing what babies do, man. So just a reminder, people, stop bringing babies to the theaters. Like, I wish you nothing but dirty diapers and sleepless nights, because that is such an annoying experience to, like, you know, a baby can't be quiet for 3 straight hours, man, especially with a lot of noise, a lot of flashing lights, rumbling seats. Like, it's just ridiculous and disrespectful to the theater.
No.
Dog, right next to me. Right next to me.
Do you understand the level of crash out I would have done? Do you understand the levels of pure Anakin Skywalker I would do? If that was me, everybody would have gotten it in that theater. Even folks in the front row would have gotten it just because they were there.
You're a bad person if you bring a baby into the theater. You, like, little kids, I'm kind of like, you just have to know your kid with that. But babies, don't bring a baby into a movies. Just, like, especially if it's not rated like G or PG. Like, just don't do that.
No. Oh, so I'm glad it wasn't me. I'm glad it wasn't me.
So that's my first rant of the day. But before
it, first.
Oh, wait till we get to the what's high.
Oh, no. So, oh, y'all are in for it today.
So with that, we're going to get into our Superman full spoilers in 3, 2, 1.
All right. So with the way this movie first starts off, it starts off like a Star Wars movie crawl. It goes text narration of just how, hey, 3 centuries ago, superheroes came upon the Earth. 3 decades ago, a baby crash landed in Kansas. 3 years ago, this dude named Clark Kent popped up in Metropolis and started calling himself Superman and started saving lives. And then, like, 3 hours ago, wait, 3 weeks ago, he went to this fictional nation of Boravia. Sounds very I'm not even gonna say the nation's name because that would get this episode immediately clapped. So went to a fictional nation to stop their dictator from going to war, and then it was like 3 hours later then 3 hours ago he fights this being called the Hammer of Boravia. And then he lost.
For the first time.
And it cuts to him a crash landing in Antarctica. It's the scene that you've seen in the trailers where he out here leaking in the Yamcha pose. He calls for Crypto. And Crypto is the baddest good boy possible. Completely murking this man.
Absolutely.
Just beating the brakes off of him before eventually dragging him to the Fortress of Solitude. which unbeknownst to them, there was a person that was following them. Eventually you learn name's the engineer. She's actually going to be important later. So he gets into Fortress of Solitude. His Superman robots, number 4, the GOAT, and number 12, 12 Fangirl. You know, they out here, you know, it's like, okay, we need to like dose you up with some solar radiation. We'll have a hologram of your parents, a damaged video hologram of your parents pop up, where and speaking in Kryptonian language, Bradley Cooper. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, Jor-El, you know, talking with him about, you know, just, hey, we sent you here. Serve the peoples. Be good. You know what I'm saying?
Be the hope.
Yeah. Be the hope of the people. Be the hope of the peoples.
It's actually funny you mentioned that, because like, I don't know who the actress was that played his wife, but at first I was like, is that Lady Gaga? And it made me think, because you texted me earlier in the week about A Star Is Born.
Bruh.
I think that's where my head was.
Whoa. As soon as I saw Bradley Cooper, I'm like, there ain't no way.
So we already know that.
Cooper twice in a row.
We already know the other Guardians are eventually going to show up at some point.
Man.
I think he already said that, like, they will, though.
Bruh. Hey, I'm here for it. But yeah, moving on, he gets healed, and while he's at 80% mastering, he decides to go back out. He back out there. He leaves to go face off against the Hammer of Bernavia, to which the Hammer of Bernavia gave him the beats.
Yes.
Good heavens. Yes, this is a Superman who gets his behind whooped.
I love it too. It made so much sense, like, as we get later on to the story, but kind of like going through it, I love the fact that they immediately were like, yo, this is Lex and he's on the BS.
Yep.
Because usually, like, sometimes they're like, you know, it's in the background, we know this crazy stuff is happening, and Lex is just like, you know, playing games and stuff. Obviously he was, but like, they revealed it at the front where it's like, Lex, he's giving out the codes, like he's playing Elden Ring versus Superman. And
3DB 5A
immediately knows all the moves, counters, and comebacks. So the rolls, the dodging. So with that, Hammer Bravia, it turns out, is Ultraman. So calls him back. We see that Lex has the ability to teleport, go through dimensions as well. But something that I really loved also was that when Superman got knocked down by the Hammer of Bravia, quote unquote Ultraman, the people like went to him, and this one dude, Molly, was like, dude, yo, I gave him a falafel one time. Yo, Superman, let me help you this thing. So that it really shows like the connection that Superman has with the people, which I think is some, we'll get into more of just kind of the comparisons with the previous Superman later. But I think that was something that they really touched on and showed throughout, also his care for the people, which gets touched on in the kaiju scene later. But with that, you know, Lex, he recalls, like I said, the Hammer of Bravia. We switch to the Daily Planet, with Clark, you know, being his usual just kind of goofy Peter Parker self, but with much better luck. So with that, he has the front page, and we already see like kind of the players of the Superman world. So like the Cat Grant, a Jimmy Olsen, Lewis Lane, and then also the editor in chief. I forgot his name. What was it?
Barry.
Yes, Perry. So Chief Perry with that, and just kind of like how they interplayed. We already see the live action. And then it's like at first, like Lois is kind of like standoffish with him, where it's like, oh, you know, kind of like, oh, I'm the older veteran going at you and stuff like that. But then it turns out later that, you know, it's just a front, and they another three, they've been dating for 3 months. So then they have their interaction in the apartment.
Yep. So in this apartment, basically, Clark is like, oh yeah, it's like, yeah, they're dating for 3 months, she already knows he's Superman, and it's like, oh yeah, we're just trying, yeah, you know, they putting up that front. And and he goes on like, oh yeah, so like I know exactly like what I'm doing, because he mentioned like in the like at the Daily Planet that like, oh yeah, Clark Kent got like another interview with Superman, and it's like, so you just out here free rehearsing a fake interview with yourself. How about a real one with Lois Lane? And you go like, on the record? It's like, on the record. So they end up having an interview where in which it goes south real quickly for Clark, because it's like she asking him like really tough questions. It's like things that technically she already knows, but it's the fact like, hey, nobody else knows that I know, so I have to ask the questions. And she's like, you know, doing it as an actual reporter, it's like asking the questions like, hey, did you do this? Did you do that? Like, what? Like, why'd you go to Bordavia? It's like, the man's addicted, and he's, like, folding under the pressure. He's collapsing.
Like, stopping the recording and stuff.
Like, he's stopping recordings at certain points. He's, like, he's talking about stuff that should be off the record and then saying off the record after the fact. If you're a journalist, you know that that's never how it goes.
Yeah, this was definitely one of my favorite scenes in the movie. And it was like, this was scene was, I believe, in like the second trailer or like the second full trailer. And it's one of my, yeah, like I mentioned, one of my favorite scenes in the movie because it shows his humanity with it in terms of he kept going back to, oh, people were going to die. Like you were talking about all this. Did I talk to this leader? Did I get permission from here? Was I acting as a citizen of the United States? And it's like, no, people.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
We're going to die. I needed to do something. I needed to step in. And that's just he's so frustrated because he can't see beyond that. Life is so crucial and important to him. And that feeds into like one of the next scenes as they kind of have their fight. And he walks out with her saying, yo, I know this wouldn't work.
Yeah, especially considering the fact, like, she knows, like, yeah, every time, like, we do something like this, like, you end up getting into a pout and then you just leave because you pretend everything is fine. I was like, message. But yeah, and then it goes to, you know, Lex Luthor, and he's talking with all the government officials. He's talking with, like, Rick Flag Sr., not the same Rick Flag from the Suicide Squad. It's poor his guy. Daddy, a.k.a. Frank Grillo from Creature Commandos, a.k.a. Crossbones, a.k.a. No, I'm not even going to keep going.
Him.
A.k.a. Himothy. So he's just like, hey, I won. Basically, he's going like, yeah, I got like a whole defense front. We got like the Raptors. We got the Engineer. We got Ultraman. You know, hey.
It was Planet Watch, right?
Yeah. You got this whole defense front named Planet Watch. It's like, hey, you just need to like contract us and we will take care of the Superman problem. And and all the government, they're just like, I mean, how do we know he a threat? How do we know he hostile? And then Lex is like, all right, what if I bring proof? He's like, what if I bring proof? You know, doing like a whole sinister thing is like, okay.
Yes.
And it's like, all right. So, and then they leave, and of course, like Rick Flag and the other senator, he knows Lex Luthor is up to something, but it's like, whatever.
Yes, because it's revealed there that Lex is in league. Well, I don't think fully yet, but it shows that Lex and the Bravians have at least like an arms deal. So a lot of like, I believe they said $80 billion is going back and forth between the two of them.
Yeah, $80 billion for all of his arms and weaponry, in which that gets touched into later.
Mm-hmm.
So we get there. Of course, this is when the kaiju happens, where Lex's crew, they release a kaiju into the sea that rapidly grows to the size of Godzilla. Superman is, you know, and this is another thing that differentiates it from like the Man of Steel verse is Superman's total regard for collateral damage.
Like, that's a good point.
Like, he does his best to avoid as much collateral damage as humanly possible and saving as many lives as possible. Like, he's out here protecting a dog from being stepped on. He's rushing to save a little girl from being crushed. He's like, he knocks out a kaiju and then holds it from being knocked into a building full of people.
Saves a squirrel out of all things.
Yeah, saves a squirrel. He's squirrel go mains will be going crazy. I'm sorry. But yeah, so like he's completely doing all of that. And then he's really like, okay, this ain't enough. And then in comes the Justice Gang. Gang. We got Mr. Terrific, best character. We got Hawk Girl. And then you get Nathan Fillion, Guy Gardner. Lord have mercy.
He is so funny in this movie.
He is. He is hilarious.
It's actually crazy because...
seriously, though.
It's crazy because, like, I didn't even know Guy Gardner was a Green Lantern because obviously I'm used to the Stewart and then also John Stewart and then also the Howl with it and then going off planet with the other Green Lantern Corps. But like seeing Guy Gardner kind of like the first time on screen is like such a good representation of him. And he really killed it with that wig.
Yeah. That wig is something. I'm like, good heavens. But yeah, so... Yeah, so while the Justice Gang and Superman, they're taking out the kaiju, in which Superman's trying to, like, you know, non-lethally detain it.
Yes.
The other three are like, nah, screw that. It
Mr.
died.
Terrific is like, I'm so done with this.
Yes, Mr. Terrific is, again, my favorite character because he keeps it 100.
So it's like, no.
It's like, no. No, we can't say... save it and the people. You can't have your cake and eat it too, boy. But all while this is all happening, you have Lex and crew. They make it to the Fortress of Solitude along with a girl named Eve, who's Lex's girlfriend. This is important for later. And then and they manage to get into the fortress. The engineer and Ultraman. Well, of course, like the things, the fortress is key to Superman's DNA. And it immediately opens up for Lex. And you're like, hello?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do, Lex? And then, they managed to kill the bots. Crypto, the baddest good boy, got taken out. And the engineer was able to, like, see the damaged recording, but was able to fix it and get the full recording. And it's like, we got what we need. So, and then after the fight, you know, after the kaiju situation's happening, everybody's, you know, they basking in the glory that is the Justice Gang and Superman. And then the TV pulls up and it shows that, like, what the full message of Jor-El is and how Lex translated it to where it's like, oh, yeah, he means that he came. He actually came here to take over he's a Viltrumite.
Yes.
That Clark Kent is a Viltrumite, and he here to prepare us for the Kryptonian Empire and turn us all into his sex slaves.
Yes, he was directed to have a secret harem and to rule over the simple people of Earth, which is crazy because obviously people this deep into the review know about what happened with it, but... it's so crazy. I didn't think the recording was actually real, but they kept confirming that that's what his dad actually said.
Yeah, like
which
that
was crazy.
Yeah, that is utterly wild because like I don't think there's any other interpretation of Jor-El that would actually say that. And I keep thinking like, oh yeah, nah, it's a doctor.
The movie, I was thinking that.
Yeah. And then Mr. Terrific is the one who confirmed is like, oh no, he actually did say that.
Which was crazy. So that's interesting. And you see, again, we see the relationship with the people, Superman and it, because like the kids are hugging him. He's all the kids, you know, running up, the people reaching out for him. But it's different because it wasn't like in the sense of, I believe it was Batman and Superman when they were kind of like reaching out like he was a god rather. But it was like he was their hero, more personable with that. And as soon as they saw the video, parents were pulling the kids out away from him, throwing cans at him. And I was like, man, y'all switched up so fast. He just saved y'all from Godzilla.
I was like, y'all weep. You know what?
So
bring Godzilla back. Bring Godzilla back. Nah, y'all gonna learn.
So he goes into just like a building, and Guy Gardner, you know, he walks in with the rest of Justice Gang. He kind of covers up the glass windows and stuff, and they talk to him like, "Hey, are you really trying to have a secret harem with us?" It's so crazy, like, because they weren't like trying to box with him. Like, "Oh, we now have to stop you. This is what you were sent for." It was kind of like they were trying to soothe him in a sense of like, "Hey, I know this is tough, but that's crazy. Are you on the up and up though?
Yeah. So like they just have a regular conversation,
which was
until
crazy.
Guy Gardner'd.
So yeah. So with that, going to I might skip something, but if I do that, just kind of fill in for me. So I believe then we see more of the connection with Lex and the Baravians. With them, and then I believe immediately Superman goes back to the Fortress of Solitude because that's he was like, "Yo, this is weird. The only way they would have been able to have gotten that footage or message was from the Fortress of Solitude." And we see how quickly he just like goes to Antarctica. And one thing, it's so crazy, you know, like the shot that everyone was like quote unquote mad about. It's crazy because James Gunn said that shot wasn't in the movie, and it's literally in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Right?
But I mean, like, who cares with that? But it was really? It was just really cool how they show like him, how quickly he was able to get back to Antarctica, switching through the different climates and weather patterns, as you would if you're flying that quickly. So he gets up, he sees that forest damage. He's like, "Dang, man." And then Four is like, "Yo, I tried to help him, big dog, but I couldn't." And then Crypto, he finds out Crypto gets taken. So immediately he goes to Lex.
Crash out mode. I'm like, yeah, crash out. Crash out.
They're like, "We tried to stop him." And I'm like, "Sure."
You tried? There's no trying with a bloodlust of Superman.
I know. So he's tossing desk and stuff. And the whole time he's being live streamed. And Lex is like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And you see how vulnerable Superman is. He's like, "Yo, it's just a dog." And Lex is like, "I don't know what you're talking about." Then whispers, "Oh, you mean a dog that looks like this and this, where only Superman could hear it?" And he just tweaks even more. But what I really loved about this is that obviously Superman is not a character where it's like, "Oh, just like, you know, put him through much physical turmoil." It's like really Lex, he puts him on the back foot from the beginning of the movie in terms of, you know, Hammer, Baravia, quote unquote Ultraman as well. And then also just from a PR perspective, because Superman wants to be loved, and him getting himself involved with the national kind of conflict, international conflict, was able to like affect that. So eventually he goes back, he has that chat with Lewis where he kind of like taps into his humanity. You know, he's depressed because his parents, that message meant so much to him. He's like, "Hey," it's so funny in the scene, like in the background you see the Justice Gate. Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's like Peacemaker like saying, "Oh, Superman is crap. He's a crash out. I already knew it." And then in the background, as Lewis is talking to Clark at this time, he's like, "Hey, in the background, we see the Justice Gang fighting an interdimensional imp," which was so funny. It's like, "Yo, they got it," which was really cool because that was one of the scenes in the movie. But something that I want to say here, or I will also touch on it later, but if this is what Metropolis is like, dog, Gotham must be unlivable.
listen, there's a reason rent in Gotham is $2 a month.
So with that, he decides to turn himself in. Planet Watch gets him, takes him into the pocket dimension, and we see, I believe he calls him Ron, but that character is Metamorpho, who is able to use kryptonite to then weaken Superman as he puts him to a cage where he keeps a lot of other interdimensional beings and people he has personal beefs with.
Yep, like one of it just being his girlfriend who had, I believe, live stream on him. Like, it's crazy.
It was a blog.
Did a blog about him. And then also it turns out, like, with Metamorpho, the only reason he's like creating kryptonite to harm Superman is because his son is being held as a hostage too. So it's
at first I didn't know who that character was. So then I was like, is that Martian Manhunter's dad or something like that? But then yeah, it kind of got revealed later on.
Yeah, and I was like, "Hey, Metamorpho, I remember you from Justice League, the TV show." So while that's happening, like Jimmy and Lois, they're like talking, they're trying to figure out, "Hey, where's Superman at?" And like, because she has like government contacts, they don't know like where he is. And they're like, "Okay, Where is he? I don't know. And Jimmy, like, he just texts somebody. He's like, hey,
Mutantos.
Huh? Yeah,
Mutantos.
You texted this person named Mutantos, who, as you can tell, like, when he's scrolling on the messages, like, he has a million texts from this one person. I'm like, God dang, Jimmy. And he's like, hey, you owe me the hugest favor of all time, right? So he texts Mutantos. He's like, oh, yeah, Superman's in a pocket dimension right now. He's like, what? How you know this? Listen, I got a source. And you owe me. So Lois goes to the Justice Gang. And they're trying, like, and they're all like, hey, we can't do anything about it. It's like, look, we can't do anything about it. Like, he's part of the government, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are under the employ of Lord Tech. So then from there, but then Mr. Terrific, he decides to say, you know what? I'm going with you. You know what? Hey, let's go take my ship.
You also have to mention the funny part where he's like, yo, I put nanotech in his bloodstream.
Oh yeah, I have nanotech in his bloodstream to track his movement. And he's like, when did you do that? It's like, oh, don't worry about it. I have it in everybody. I'm like, that is such a Batman move.
Yes.
1,000% that's what Batman does.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so that's happening. And then it cuts back to Luthor interrogating Superman by holding Molly hostage, playing Russian roulette.
That was crazy, man. All because the dude gave him a free falafel and helped him up one time.
Just one time, man. Now he's basically forced to play Russian roulette.
Is Lex Luthor racist?
Yes. You know he is. He races against Kryptonians. So yeah, and he's like playing Russian roulette. He's like, who are you working for? Who?
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist. And GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Like, what's your purpose here? And then as soon as he asks that second question, bam, he already shoots Molly dead. And this pretty much, and you see Clark cry.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where Metamorpho is like, you know what? Screw Lex.
I let him die, yeah, because of me.
Yeah, like, screw Lex. I ain't doing nothing right. You know what? Hey, Superman, you can get my son out, right? All right, I'm going to turn into, I'm going to take this kryptonite out, and you go with Rexing my son. It ain't helping because Superman's still weak. So, all right.
Yes.
And I need a yellow son. It's like, okay. I can't become a yellow son, but I can create one.
It's crazy.
Yep, that's Metamorpho for you. So he does it, he creates it, and while this is happening, Lois and Mr. Terrific arrive on the island where Mr. Terrific 1v100s a whole island and whole team of raptors and show them how a black man does it, you know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Sends them leaking.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because with Metamorpho, he was... Initially, Superman was like, hey, I can get your son, like, as soon as he first got in, and then Metamorpho was like, stop talking to me, like, yelling, crashing out, and, like, bringing the kryptonite closer to Superman, which was causing Superman to shrivel up and get weaker and weaker with that. So then from there, like, as we say, when Molly got shot, we see Ron, like, obviously Superman was crying, but Metamorpho is, like, weeping because it's like, yo, this is my fault. I weakened you in order to do this, even though, like, you know, my son is there. So with that, it's also funny with Mr. Terrific. He's like saying, oh, okay, here are all the dangers of having a pocket dimension. He's basically like saying this is going to be the third act of the movie, and we weren't paying attention to that. And it's like, of course, Lex would be arrogant enough to try to do that. So he's able to open it up with himself with his... there's a funny scene right after this where it's like with the T-Spears. He's like, when Lewis is like, hey, can your circles find him? And he's like, it's T-Spears. The 3D objects.
Spheres are 3D.
So kind of like in this, so once Superman frees the sun, Metamorpho is like, hey, you got to carry my son because I can't carry him when I'm changing forms and stuff. So some of the Raptors start finding him, but first they get Crypto out, who was captive by Lex in that pocket dimension, forced him to look at like squirrels and just like keep him kind of clockwork. Oranged him a bit. So once he gets free, Crypto's like, yo, I'm not with it. So they start attacking. They're in this river. I can't remember what it was. It's like a river of like plasma, essentially. So Superman was able to handle it, and they're going towards what is a
black hole.
So with that, he's like, yo, Crypto, save me. And Crypto is, you know, needs better training, some household man training. So Crypto doesn't understand what's going on, but Metamorpho is able to grab them, and then Superman with his ice breath is able to kind of push and propel them away from it, sees the T-spheres, follows it up, and then gets out with that. Yep. And then heads home to Kansas.
Yes. And while that's happening, we get back to Jimmy. Jimmy, he ends up meeting up with Mutant Toes, which turns out to be Lex's girlfriend, Eve.
Since I was like, Jimmy, what are we doing here?
I'm like, my boy.
Cool.
Again, Jimmy, the unsung hero. So Jimmy out here, you know, he's like, hey, and then there was moments like, oh yeah, okay, can you get like me this information? It's like, yeah, I will, if you go out with me. And he's like, sure, fine. I'm like, dang, what did she do to you?
It's the toes.
I'm like, nah, it can't be just Mutant Toes that turns up.
You saw how she was acting.
You're right.
In fairness, we all have one crazy in our past.
We're not gonna talk about that right now. We're not gonna uncover that one. So in other news, all right. She ends up like, oh yeah, Lex finds out that, you know, Superman escaped. He's royally pissed, and he's like, okay, know what, I'm gonna create this black hole so that way I know exactly where Superman is. And then while that's happening, Eve, like, she gets yelled at by Lex, so she leaves to the server room and starts texting Jimmy like a bunch of posts.
He like throws something at her too.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I think it was a pencil.
Yeah, because he's so petty, like he knocked the pencils down and told the people to pick it up, and then they picked it up.
And he knocks it down again. I'm like, yeah, this
Lex is a hater.
He's
Lex
evil.
Is a hater.
He's a biggest hater. So yeah, while all that's happening, yeah, and then she texts him. Ultraman, like she texts Jimmy and then calls him, like, but of course Ultraman, he overhears all this. Mm-hmm. And then right as she's about to press send, Lex Luthor comes in, grabs her by the legs, like, oh, nah, come here. And it's like,
alter that pocket dimension.
Yep. And it's wraps for her into the pocket dimension. And now back at Superman, this is actually probably like a very heartwarming scene, because one thing we forgot to mention is that, like, on the ride over to the island, Lois was telling, like, Mr. Terrific, basically, like, how, yeah, she was going to break up with Clark like the night he turned himself in.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, like, yeah, I love you, and then like he turned himself into the police. So yeah, that kind of put a hamper on things. So she's like in his bedroom, like looking around, seeing like all the different things he has. Like, yeah, he's basically a normal human boy. Ma and Pa being as southern as humanly possible. I'm like, good gracious. Like,
southern, yeah. Even though they live in Kansas.
Yep. I was like, this is the most southern I'd ever seen. Like, they have the accent. Like, They can't operate the phone. They straight from Mississippi.
Yes.
They from the Bible Belt. I can tell you that right
They're
now.
In Smallville by way of Mississippi.
Yep. So Yeah, and then Jason is like, while Superman's recovering, is like, he's just talking about like, John's like, you know, one big old softy, like he really cares about his son, even though he's not his biologically. Of course, Superman, he finally wakes up. He's having himself a bowl of cereal, or oatmeal. I can't tell, but that's not important. Like him and Pa, like they're having a conversation. Basically, it's just like how, yeah, it's like Clark, like he's basically going through a mini identity crisis because right, like what he thought like his parents wanted for him was wrong. So like, is he destined to like be a villain, be the conqueror that they want him to be? And then Pa, like he hits him with the, hey, what you interpreted the message as says more about you than it is them. And I'm so darn proud of you as my son. And it was like, waterworks, waterworks. But then Clark had to get to work because Lex decided to, it's a twofold front.
Yeah.
It's a twofold front. Number one is that, of course, Lex created that black hole, which is splitting everything in two.
The Earth.
Yeah, splitting the Earth in two, starting in Metropolis. And then at the same time, the Boravia dictator, he decided to say, you know what? Now's a perfect time since Superman's out of commission to go and take over the town. And then while that's happening, Lois gets like the pictures from Jimmy, which she sees in the background. It's like, oh, that is Lex's plan. Because Eve, like, she's taking all these selfies. It's like, oh, yeah, I got all the details in the background. Like, Eve is a real one. Without even knowing it. So
I know.
That's crazy. So yeah, it turns out like, hey, Lex, like his plan is to, ally with the Birdavians. Like he basically gave them all this armament for $80 billion, but they only paid like one of it. And they basically gave it for free in order to have the people invade the neighboring nation. They take it over. And then Lex decides to create a whole nation for himself called Luthoria. Terrible name, by the way.
It has to have his name in it in marketing.
What about Lexland?
That's not bad. That's not bad. So kind of with that, I believe Superman gets that information first because he's with Lois at the time. And he's also seeing it on TV. And I'm telling you, this is like what James Gunn got so right about the Superman. Because at this point, a lot was happening. But once, like, I forgot the people. It starts with an L, but of that country. They were, like, lifting the flag, and they were chanting for Superman to save them. And it's crazy because, like, they never show Superman saving them at the beginning of the movie, but that's, like, the impetus of the entire, like, movie. So they never show Superman intervening in that. But them chanting, and I'm like, yo, I believe in this Superman. Like that was obviously, he was doing a great job throughout the movie, but that was a moment where I was like, yo, this is the world's Superman with it. And then he was like, okay, I'm ready to go. And Mr. Terrific is like, hey, bring your butt to Metropolis. And Clark is like, yo, I kind of have to go. Lex is, he's going to use the Bravians and stuff like that. And Mr. Terrific is like, yo, there won't be a Bravian. If you don't come right now, there won't be a world. There is a black hole opening right now.
Mm-hmm. So,
and this was the part where I was like, yo, if Metropolis is like this, Gotham is cooks.
Beyond cooked. You know what? I'm going to Central City. Yes, I'm going to Central City where the Flash is, because at least it's more hopeful over there than it is anywhere else.
Indeed. So yeah, we get to the third and final act of the movie.
Yep. Where while Superman and Mr. Terrific, they're going to Lex's place because they're like, okay, Lex has the key to like stopping all this. We need to go stop him. They get ambushed by Engineer and Ultraman, where Mr. Terrific gets KO'd immediately. So it becomes a 2-on-1. Superman, he's holding his own. Like he giving Engineer the beats until they decide, you know what? Fill his lungs up with nanites.
Even though the engineer is like a cheat code in essence. Yeah.
Yep. Fill his lungs with symbiote goo. Oh, sorry. I mean, nanites, my bad. You can't tell me otherwise that she's not like a Omega Sentinel. She's not
one of
a symbiote. She's somebody. So Superman, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna fly up. So he flies straight up, and then they fly up to go and try to catch him. and then they end up in the upper atmosphere and then dive straight back down. And it's like,
he used seismic toss.
Yes, he used the seismic toss. He used primary lotus. He used the royal spear. He decided to say, you know what? Screw y'all in particular. Dive into the ground. And it was from that knocks out the engineer.
Hooked.
Separates Ultraman. And he was able to like finally get all of that off of him. And then the mask gets taken off of Ultraman to reveal Superman. It turns out, hey, Lex cloned Superman and made him dumb to be controlled. And that immediately went like, oh, so this is Bizarro. So this is basically Bizarro. Okay, I see. I don't know why y'all had to call him Ultraman, because you call him Ultraman, I'm thinking Earth 3, a.k.a. Crime Syndicate's evil Superman number one. But
bam, with that, there is something I should have put in my it's what I texted you. It's something that I should have put in my get it off your chest. So when I went to get my snacks from the theaters, get my snacks before the movie started, literally one of the employees is on the phone talking about the movie and it's echoing. And I'm literally like, and she's like, yo, they made Superman a crybaby. And then Ultraman, and then like right when she said Ultraman, I like put my ear down, just covered it up. And I'm like standing in line for my popcorn, looking like an idiot with like one hand folded over my ear. Cause I'm like, I am not trying to hear any of what. Dude, she's standing right next to one of the theater entrances. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Oh no, this is where you have to give her a death glare.
The death note is what.
They're like, hey, excuse me, what's your name? Hey, can I have your autograph? All right, cool. Thank you. Yes.
So with that, again, with Lex being one of the ultimate haters in all of comic books, so he cloned Superman because he scoured the land after one of Superman's fights and got a single piece of hair so he could use that to clone. And also with all the fighting moves, he studied film like he was a football player.
Like, you study film like he was prime NFL coach. He looked at all their plays.
So he's using that. And then again, they're going back and forth. But it was actually interesting because I didn't notice it at first. But every time he fought, there were a lot of cameras around. Mm-hmm. And with that, that is how Lex was kind of like monitoring the fights and stuff. And initially, I thought it was like,
Monday.
Yes, he was snapping repeatedly. So it's like brain over brawn. And then with that, Superman was able to call Crypto, you know, ate all the cameras, which was really nice because it was a callback to earlier when Crypto ate two of Mr. Terrific's T-Spheres. So with that fight, Superman and Crypto, they fight the Raptors. They also go back to Ultraman. Superman dislocates his shoulder on purpose, tosses Ultraman, his clone, essentially into the black hole, getting rid of him. And then Mr. Terrific is like, hey, I need.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Did you stop playing?
It's like, I ain't playing. I'm just taking care of business.
And sorry.
Yeah, and then, of course, like, in Boravia, the Jessica gang shows up, and it's like, gang, So Green Lantern, Guy Gardner, just wave of a hand with middle fingers throughout, takes out the entire army. Hawkgirl goes, gets the dictator, and this is
This cements Hot Girl as one of my favorites, all right? Cements her as my favorite. She's flying him, right? And as a dictator, he decided to be spicy. He decided to talk spicy a little bit. He's like, oh, nah, see, I know you ain't gonna kill me like your boy Superman. And she's like, you know what's funny? You're right. I'm not Superman. Drops him to his death.
Low-key, for a second, I thought she was going to come back and get him or someone else was going to save him. But he straight up killed him.
Yes, I thought somebody was going to grab him last second. I'm like, oh, Lord, this is going to be one of those moments. Nope, he splats on the pavement. I'm like, she's the best. Get her on my team.
So with that, as they wrap up and they're getting congratulated by the people, Metamorpho technically is a part of Justice Gang, yeah. And the entire running joke throughout the movie is that Justice Gang is a stupid name. So Mr. Terrific and Hot Girl both hate it. But Guy Gardner's like, Mr. Terrific, you're disqualified. Hot Girl, I'm the leader, so I break the tie. But then Metamorpho is like, that's a really cool name. And he's like, you're in.
Immediately, I'm like, boy, if you don't.
So flipping back to the Lex Luthor, it's the final confrontation. Superman pulls up as Lex is trying to, like, you know, escape. And he's just like, yo, I'm going to let the portal keep going because they chose him over me, even though I'm a genius with that. Superman pulls up looking all heroic and like that. Mr. Terrific pulls in and the dude is like, I can help you. He's like, I don't need your help. I'm Mr. Terrific. so they're able to stop the kind of the splitting of the earth, close it back up with that. Crypto did not like his earlier treatment and lets Lex know about it.
He gave him the Loki treatment. He gave him Prime Hulk V Loki. I'm like, yo, Crypto, you get the biggest bone. And all this is while, like, Lex is like, man, like, I did all this to kill you. You are a filthy alien. And then he gets the Hulk treatment, and then Lois and crew sent out a news article, basically published all of Lex Luthor's schemes, yep. Exposed this man. Every single news anchor is like, so Lex Luthor's a traitor to the United States. And this is when like Lex sees everything and starts crying a little before the tear just disappears into straight hatred for Superman. Yep. And Superman, he just like...
Exactly, just posing.
He's like, what you gonna do?
Checkmate. It's so funny.
How dare you?
It's funny when Lois, like, when she was flying the Mr. Terrific's vehicle, and like the entire time Metropolis is splitting, and her, Jimmy, and then the chief, he's just like sitting there as Metropolis is falling apart, listening to their presentation about what's going on. And he asked how many people can fit in the vehicle. And she was like, six. And he was like, okay, sports guy, you can come too.
Yes, Steve, you
come. I was rolled.
They all get up, they get inside. And it's like, hey, where's my seat at? As he's sitting on the ground, they barely fly off with their lives. And while flying in a spaceship, nonchalantly just like, hey, just transcribe what I'm saying right now. Like, this is just a regular Tuesday for them.
After they fall off the thing. That was fun. That was a funny scene. But yeah, essentially they close it just to wrap up. She's like, hey, you want that interview, Miss Lane? She's like, yes. And then they just have a makeout session. Perry knows.
Jimmy's like, yeah, they've been dating for like 3 weeks. And then Eve comes back. He's like, Jimmy!
I know, so grateful.
I get to be with you forever.
And ever and ever. So, and then also, Lex is shipped off to Belrive, which is where most of the people from the Suicide Squad Task Force X typically go, and where Amanda Waller runs stuff.
Yep, and then as it ends off, Superman, he's back at the Fortress of Solitude, and he's... And, like, he's recovering everybody. Like, all the robots are back up. Number four, he's like, you know what? I like the name Gary. He's like, you know what? You know what? You're right, Gary. And he's healing. And it's like, oh, yeah. As they're, he's like, hey, you want a footage of your family while you're recovering? He's like, yeah. And it's actually just childhood memories of John and Martha. I'm like, yaw, it's sweet. But then that sweetness is immediately undercut when somebody crashes through the Fortress of Solitude, and it's none other than Supergirl come in drunk out of her mind. It's like, hey, What the heck, man? And he's like, bro, where were you? Where were you during all this catastrophe? And he's like, hey, thanks for dog sitting. And Crypto goes with her, like, well, firstly, gives her the roughest roughest beats, but it turns out,
yes.
Hey, apparently they love it. So
that's how they say hello.
That's how they say hello, just by completely beating on one another before leaving. And Superman's like, that's why my cousin, like, she just goes off to different planets with Red Sun, so that way she can get drunk. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, so essentially that wraps up the movie. The post-credit scenes are just something brief. So getting into that, what are your thoughts on the movie?
I thought, like, hey, it was a really good movie. Like, I really loved, like, again, the portrayal of Superman. Like, yeah, sure, he gets his behind whooped, like, almost as much as, actually, not as bad as Invincible.
It's just bad PR with Invincible. He needs to change his name.
Yeah, he needs to just be Invincible at that point. But at least Superman, like, he gets dubs. Like, he only really loses to himself. Like, the only person who put the beats on him is literally his clone. So, technically, he won up. he gets dubs. He's really human. Like, you see his humanity both in and out of the suit. He focuses on, like, saving the people. He focuses on being, like, on the ground with the folks and, like, and protecting from collateral damage. I'm like, and he's big on hope. Like, this is, I know we're talking about comparison between him and Henry Cavill. It's like, that's kind of like the one thing that the Zack Snyder movies kind of lacked, was that envisioning of hope, in my opinion.
I think with that, just we can kind of transition and blend in between the two of why Superman's such a hard character to get on screen, and then also with patience. I think the time where Zack Snyder was doing his universe, it was prime phase, end of phase 2, phase 3, phase 4 Marvel, where Marvel, everything that dropped with Marvel was essentially a hit, or at least made a lot of money.
It also did drop post Dark Knight trilogy.
Exactly. So with that, Superman being so dark, I feel like a lot, so people were initially shocked by that, because again, you have on one side, Captain America, Iron Man. Even though Iron Man isn't, like, hopeful, but kind of cheery by the time we got to Iron Man 3 and hopeful with that. But with that, Man of Steel, which I think is a really good movie, it just shocked a lot of people, especially with how, you know, he killed Zod at the end. So that was, like, people were like, oh, debating that. And then, what was it? Batman versus Superman, which the extended version really helps that movie much more than the theater. But another good movie, but again, a response. And I feel like from there, by that time, they started to get Superman right, but it was
kind of,
and then also the Martha thing. So there are, like, small things that people, but I feel like the Justice League, that first movie, had so much go wrong with it. And then, you know, Josh Whedon, the, you know, scumbag of him, Zack Snyder having his, you know, family situation, people wanting the Snyder Cut. So by the time I think we got to the actual Snyder Cut, it was like, okay, we understand what Superman is. We see the hope in it. And then even, like, it shows, like, evidence with Black Adam, where it's like, okay, we accept Henry Cavill now as Superman. We're excited for this. It was already in, like, the DC EU had so much going wrong with it that everything in it kind of hurts. Exactly. So getting now to it, what I think is always so hard with movie Superman is that a lot of times people treat him like Jesus, and then people don't know how to write that. Because, like, even it, like you mentioned with the threes, you know, Jesus being 30, and then he had 3 years of his ministry, you know, with that. So, like, people treat him like that. And then, like, the gods and monsters part of it, where Zack Snyder portrayed him as a god. Then with the Superman Returns, like, the mid-2000 movie, that movie was so boring. But, again, treating him with that reverence, so they didn't. It's hard to humanize him, especially since he can't get touched like that. And I think in this movie, it wasn't just him being vulnerable. It was, he felt human, like the whole social media thing and how he reacted to that, him wanting to say, like, life in general is precious to him, and then connecting with the people. All of that made you really believe in him as a person. Like, this was more Clark than Kal-El, which I think people really rock with, because I don't think they ever said his name. Well, his dad might have been the only one that actually said his name.
Yeah. No other thing about Kal-El. It was all strictly Clark or Superman. More often than not, Superman. Which yeah, I like really love that. And like with that, right, we kind of like ducktail into like this next question is DC back?
I think it was a really interesting choice, and it actually really worked where James Gunn, he didn't make this a true origin welcome to my world type of story. Like even with what you mentioned in the Star Wars opening credit crawl, where it's like, hey, we've had metahumans for 300 years. Superman has been around for 3 years. We're already in the world. You know, the Justice Gang has been operating. They're paid with that. Supergirl's here. Crypto's here. Like, this is a world that already exists, and we're just picking up within it. So with that, something that this movie did a great job in and what it needed to do, it made me want a Superman 2 movie. So that, love Mr. Terrific. So want more of that. Guy Gardner worked, Hot Girl worked, so you want to see more of them. Like, I want to see a Guy Gardner pull up in the Lanterns TV show and have those three interact with each other.
Please, please.
So I think that's what he's really good at, is just like giving you life and taking so many characters and bringing them together. There are parts with this being a universe where I just felt like it was a lot, and I kind of wanted more focus on Superman, but all of it essentially worked individually is how I feel. So I think DC is definitely in a place where it's like, I want to see more. And that's what this movie, it's one of the things that this movie needed to do.
Yeah. I'd say like, it's a definitely good jumping off point. They definitely like hit it on the right note. James Gunn, like, and he knows what he's doing. He knows how to like make characters who you either do not care about or actively loathe and make you actually like them. Again, with the Guardians of the Galaxy, like, nobody cared about that team at all. Nobody cared about that lineup. Who knew who Rocket the Raccoon was unless she was deep into that Marvel lore? But yeah, and now they're...
The C-Squad, Suicide Squad, interesting.
Yes, and it's like, the fact that he did that, it's like, he made Polka Dot Man.
Yes!
Polka Dot Man level.
Catcher 2.
Like, come on. Like, nah. Give that man his flowers, because he knows how to make you love a character who's goofy or not marketable. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Which really helped with, like, Mr. Terrific, because I think he is one of the breakout characters of the show. And the only time I've really known Mr. Terrific was Arrowverse, which was obviously lower tier in production because of, you know, CW stuff. And then also in the one of the Injustice animation ones. But that's just a brief scene where he's playing chess with Superman. So with that, the world they're fitting into, something that I want to ask is, how key is patience in world building? Because with that, this is the start. We don't know how long it plans. I think they initially said like 10-year plan or whatever. But with him, you know, obviously wanting us to have another Superman, if this wasn't good and people came out of the movie going, hey, when is the Batman 2, which technically isn't a part of his universe, I think it would have been felt. But how key is like patience with that?
I think patience is very, very important. It's key to like, hey, like, we need time to like build out our universe, build out our story. Look at the MCU. Like, they like, look at the MCU versus how the DCEU ended up. Because like with the DC, it's like, with the DCEU, they started with a Superman movie. Then they basically made a Batman versus Superman movie, which is like a Trinity movie with,
yes,
Batman, with Superman dying, then Suicide Squad, then Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the equivalent of doing Captain America Civil War, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is such an like incoherent way of storytelling and world building that it just, and that's why.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasan. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. what I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
The DCU kind of got like such a bad flack.
Indeed.
Because like you're either rapidly introducing characters and trying to like give them like screen time and motivations, whereas you could like legit just like, hey, take your time with the characters. Give them the proper time, like with either a movie, series, etc., to give them the right time they need. So that way, when it comes time for a team-up movie, you're already in the know about these characters and you're just anticipating them interacting with one another and seeing how that plays off. So, yes. So like, yeah, and it also, hey, you get time, like, build up whatever threat, like, may lie and whatever you may, yeah, whatever, like, future plans you're having for the universe. Again, like, MCU kind of, like, basically pioneered and ran with that.
Yes. And then also you have to think, too, in, like, Batman vs. Superman, they also introduced Wonder Woman in Florida.
It's a Trinity movie.
So, exactly. So it's just a lot with that. And then, it, obviously, you know, like you mentioned, teased other stuff. So I think he did a really good job with that. Something else with Superman where... it's tough because it's either, hey, we're going Lex Luthor or we're going Doomsday. And those are like the only two stories that consistently get told where people find it interesting because he can't be weakened in a sense. Not going back into like the 80s, 90s movies, but it's just like, I think that's also tough. So humanizing him helps. So with Lex now being off the board, and I don't think James Gunn would rush into Doomsday so quickly if he does direct the second Superman movie or not. But I'm definitely interested to see where he goes with that.
Honestly, I have like a few villains right here to get Superman right. Like a post-Lex, you can have a Parasite, who's basically his whole shtick is that he's literally just Rogue from the X-Men, but evil. You can do him. You can do, of course, General Zod, obviously. With the Rogue Kryptonians, you can do Metallo, you know, hey, basically Terminator, but powered by Kryptonite, or Brainiac.
I want to see a Brainiac on screen a lot. Do you think that's too big for a second? We obviously don't know when a second Superman movie would hit, but do you think that's too big for a second Superman, or does that need a team up?
Honestly, it depends on how you play it. Like, he can be a straight up menace, but I don't think, like, he requires too much help for Superman.
Because sometimes, like, obviously, like, the Injustice 2 Brainiac, where he was just running things, and then also the other game we don't talk about with the DC, where Brainiac was taking over the world. So sometimes, like, Brainiac is, like, World Destroyer, and then sometimes he's, like, Teen Titans, where he's just, like, Master Manipulator.
Yeah, I'd say like I was thinking more like the Justice League / Superman animated series Brainiac, who at the very most required Batman until the Justice League series, where after taking over Lex's body, spoiler alert for a 20-plus-year-old series, yeah, he definitely needs the whole Justice League. But yeah, it's like I feel like he can work like kind of as a medium level threat where he can go either way.
That works. Now, do kinda not like an Ultron-esque.
Yeah, like Ultron. Do not mention Darkseid because Darkseid, he...
it's too big.
He way too big. He way too big right now.
So kind of just like wrapping up with that, which heroes are you looking forward to that haven't been announced or like seen yet? Or even with those that have been announced?
Okay, so I actually went and took a look at like everything that's been like confirmed and are in development. Like, hey, I'm interested in this Brave and the Bold movie with Damian Wayne Robin.
That's going to be an important movie.
It will.
Because we got the Batman 2 that we're all waiting for.
So. Yeah. Let's see. Another one. Again, Lanterns. I mean, Aaron Pierre is John Stewart. I needs that for my blackness.
That's Mufasa.
Boy. let's see. Who else from the series that was I? Oh, yeah. This Clayface movie. That is going to be so interesting for the horror in me. Because they stated it's going to be a horror movie.
Have you ever seen the Harley Quinn series?
Yes.
Like pieces of... I wonder how, obviously, it being horror, how much different it's going to be. like if he's going to, like, not have... It's obviously in Harley Quinn, it's like an overdone accent, but I wonder how intense, because he is an actor, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. But also, not just Clayface. I need that Swamp Thing movie, because that needs to get horrified as well.
It has to be horror.
And then I'm going to need that Teen Titans movie. I need them to do the Teen Titans right. I need them to do them right.
Ooh, now that you mention it, with Brave and the Bold, obviously we know who our Teen Titans are, but if the Brave and the Bold has Damian Wayne as Robin, how old are the Titans?
Typically the Teen Titans, they're like in their teens, so like 14.
Well, yes, but I'm saying like the original Robin, Starfire.
Oh,
that's a
OG,
different age thing now.
Oh, the OG roster. So
yes,
the OG
he has
roster,
to be Nightwing at this point.
Yeah, they have to be like in their 20s, 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they have to be like adults at that point. So for the OG roster that you're thinking of now, I've seen like in the DC animated movie universe where they aged down, I believe, Raven.
Raven got aged down to be a romance option for, yeah.
Yeah, to be Damian's age. I think Beast Boy was also de-aged to be around that age range as well. I don't remember.
I don't remember him in the movies. I remember him more in Young Justice, though.
Yes.
But I think he was DH down too in Young Justice.
Yes, he was. He was. But yeah, so it's like, so really when it comes to like who's going to be in the roster of it, we're going to anticipate like the roster that you know is just going to be like a matter of, is this Teen Titans movie going to be based around the Dick Grayson Robin or this new Damian Wayne one?
Because it could be a prequel flashback too.
It could.
So who knows?
Because, again, we got a Batman movie with Damian Wayne, a.k.a. Robin 4.
Yes.
So like, there's years that you could do. Also, Jason Todd, where my man's at?
They're getting I know it's animated, but there's going to be an absolute duo animated movie where Nightwing and Rob, the Red Hood, are working together.
I need my gun-toting Rob. I need my Injustice 2 main to run... pockets. I need bodies to hit the floor.
All right. So with me, character that I'm interested in, Booster Gold is going to be so funny. Especially if in a James Gunn universe, because Booster Gold is the most unserious superhero.
Oh yeah, nah. He gonna do Wilton numbers.
So with that, the Flash, because I wonder if they would go back to obviously the previous Flash, there were issues, but I wonder if they're going to go with the Wally West route or back to the Barry Allen route. And how many speedsters total are they going to be? Are we going to get a Flashpoint? That's correct. Are we going to get a Yellow Flash? That's correct. In the movie and not
First Flash?
Whatever.
Get Eobard Thawne?
Please. And just the different things like that. So I really want... And then even with that, like... James Gunn, if we go to the Flash Rogues Gallery, James Gunn would be perfect with just like, oh, this character, that character, this character, that character, let's go.
Yes, because the Rogues are actually unironically probably some of the best characters because like, hey, they're just common crooks, common criminals. They don't do like the whole murder thing. They just trying to get their buck and get out. Hey, yes. They get thwarted by Flash. Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to get released, and then there's nothing like revenge or evil, evil about them. They just trying to get their score. That's it. They're respectable.
Yes. So, obviously, yeah, that's about everything. The only thing, Blue Beetle, I think they said is going to be the same Blue Beetle from the movie. That's what I think they said. And then also
there's like this animated series.
I'm cool with that. And then... I think the bad guy I'm thinking of is Heatwave, but there's like this fusion character where it's like a black guy and he fuses with an older white guy.
Firestorm.
Yes, Firestorm. I want to see a Firestorm. I wonder if he would be in the teens if they like, if it's a younger DC, but yeah.
Static?
Yes, that would Static. Be fire. I feel like DC is so afraid of going to the Static well for some reason.
Static, Icon, Rocket. Come on, where are my milestones at? Where's Hardware?
If we're there, Static and Green Arrow. I want to see Green Arrow again.
I think I'm all tired out of Green Arrow after the Arrow series. I mean, ain't gonna lie.
That's fair, but definitely Static. So let's move forward to the, if you don't have anything else, awards and tiers.
All right. So when it comes to the awards, I would like to give my first award, which is the, bruh, just kiss already. This is the award that goes to a couple who just, y'all just go ahead and kiss already. Like, y'all know y'all love each other. Lois and Clark, just come down here. Yes, y'all did kiss, like, at the beginning of the movie, and y'all definitely kissed at the end, but, man, there was so much tension.
I feel like they kissed throughout the movie.
Huh?
I feel like they kissed throughout the movie.
Nah, they only kissed twice. Only twice.
You should have gave it to Eve and Jimmy.
Nah, I ain't gonna do Jimmy that dirty like that. But in reality, not. Jimmy just, actually, you know what? You're right. Jimmy, Eve, get up here, because y'all know better. Jimmy, you know what you're doing. Just go ahead, give her that date. Make it the best night of y'all's lives. Come on now.
Sashay had toes that look like, what was it? Something shrimp cocktail?
No.
That's wild. All right. For my first award, we got the generational hater, which is also the op of the year. Can be none other than Lex Luthor. The way he was moving is how you move when you hate someone. This is dressing up to someone that dies funeral, the meme. Just like studying the film, like we mentioned, to copy all of Superman's fight patterns. I mean, scouring his fights to get just like a strand of hair in order to clone him, coming up with an entire conspiracy just to stop a dude like he's the head captain of the Goatee 13. I mean, this is insane. And then just like, he was literally going to cause the world to get sucked up to a black hole just because he hates Superman. This is next level hate.
Yes, he needs to go on Mount Rushmore for haters.
Right next to the Flash, the Yellow Flash.
Right next to Reverse Flash, right next to Dio, right next to Dr. Doom. Yes, you are up there. Now, for my next award, it has to be none other than the Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. An award where in which a team, you know, they come together as a collective and are able to hand out the beats like never seen before. Come on now, Justice Gang.
Yes.
Mr. Terrific, Hawkgirl, Guy Gardner, and Metamorpho. Y'all coming in. And you know what, Superman? You can join them too. Because you basically part of the team too.
Indeed. All right. So for my next award, it's what you've been saying, Mitch. I don't know how to phrase it, but the goodest bad boy or the baddest good boy, it has to be Crypto. Crypto was wild in this whole movie. He was never under control, but when it was time to come through, he came through. I mean, we were shocked when he got hit with the goo, the nanites by the engineer, you know, kind of took him out, had him in the whole Clockwork Orange simulation and stuff like that. But Crypto, even though he needs home training, but he has a poor owner with Supergirl. He is the goodest bad boy, the baddest good boy. Let's get this award.
And then for my last award, it is none other than the stealing money, which goes to a role where somebody, he just steals the spotlight. Actually, it's basically the Spotlight is Yours award combined with the Stealing Money award. I'm giving the Stealing Money part to Peacemaker for being just hilarious in that one cameo. And then Spotlight is Yours goes to none other than Mr. Terrific. I ain't gonna lie to you, because this man was spitting facts the whole movie.
It's funny. I thought you would give the Stealing Money to Bradley Cooper. That's what I thought, but maybe you're right.
Nah, it was 100% Peacemaker, because
that's fair.
That he was had no reason to be there.
Yeah, zero reason. All right, so for my final award, it is you're the real MVP. I was tempted to give this to Mr. Terrific because he was coming in clutch consistently, but the person that was able to collect the information that kind of broke through that turned everyone against Lex has to go to Eve. Eve was low key operating in secret this entire time, you thinking she's an idiot, but she's taking pictures of, you know, maps, money, contracts. She had it all. So Eve, you are the real.
Yep.
All right. So with that, we can go into tears.
All right. So for our tears, we got everything.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned that is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
From the F tier all the way up to the S, aka Superman tier, what are you giving this movie?
Whew, this was tough. This is one of the tougher ones that I had to give it. This is a really good movie, something that's definitely, you can rewatch it multiple times, probably get different feelings from it. You know, go to a movie theater without babies in it, get a much better experience. I'm going to give it a B tier, but the only reason I'm giving it a B is because I think there's an even greater movie within here, but it kind of, but the overall movie that we got needed to serve the purpose of the overall DC universe. So there is just a lot going in it. And like we said, James Gunn is one of the best directors at taking lemons that we have no idea about and making some of the best tasting lemonade that we've ever tasted. It just, the middle part of the movie, it just felt like a lot was going on for me. So I'll give it a B tier, but the second movie, like if they make, most likely make a sequel, probably is going to be an A or an S.
Yeah, I was like tossed up between an A and a B tier because of the fact, like, A, this is like a jumping off point and it's a good jumping off point. I think like my main things was, it's like, okay, does it feel like overcrowding? Does it feel like it's taking too much away from being a Superman movie by introducing like all these extra characters? And I thought, like, as I was wrestling with that, I'm like, it's actually, you know what? I think it's actually fine. I think it's fine. Like, I probably need to like go rewatch it like a couple times in order to fully submit my view. But I'm gonna give it a B, teetering on A tier.
That's exactly how I feel. Like what you said with the overcrowding, where it's just like all of it worked, and there's like, I don't think there's any character where I'm like, take this character out because it's not working. I just think it's, there are moments in it where it's like, okay, I want Superman, which is really cool because I haven't said that about a lot of Supermans in recent history. All right, so with that, we are going to transition to the what's hot. Since we took a week off, this is going to be rather bloated. We will try our best to move through it, but there's just a lot going on. So Meech, what you got?
All right, we're going to have to go through this in rapid order. All right, so starting with comics, One World Under Doom, Ultimate Spider-Man Incursions, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, All New Venom Needs to End, King Spawn, Absolute Batman, Absolute Superman, Absolute Universe in general. All right, now we're moving on to TV. Ironheart ended. Ironheart has finished its miniseries. Alien Earth is debuting August 12th. Season 3 of Squid Game is ended, and it's announced a bunch of spinoffs, including Squid Game USA. Dexter Resurrection came out already. It's already dropped, I believe, on Hulu or Max.
How many series is this going to get?
Well, it's being resurrected.
Is this the fourth series?
Yes. All right, so we got Eyes of Wakanda, which is dropping August the 27th. Ryan Coogler, animated Wakanda series. Marvel Zombies dropping in October. It Welcome to Derry's dropping sometime soon. Wonder Man is supposedly happening. Gumball from the Amazing World of Gumball is back, dropping July 28th. King of the Hill has returned for our favorite Texas anime, dropping August 4th. Stranger Things is supposedly coming back on December 31st for its final season.
It's going to be part of my get it off the chest. It's coming back in three parts.
Oh, heck nah.
It's coming back around Thanksgiving. It's coming back, I think, either on Christmas or Christmas Eve, and then it's coming out on New Year's Eve.
Oh, nah. All right. That's crazy. Oh, yeah, and then also, hey, Love Island got people in a chokehold. All right. For no discernible reason, it got people in a chokehold. All right. Going into gaming, let's moving on. We're moving on. We're not going to dwell on it. Marvel Rivals Season 3 has dropped, which is the Null Saga, baby.
Ooh.
A lot of characters got their symbiote skins. Squirrel Girl got a symbiote skin. For all you Squirrel Girl mains, I'm looking at you, Donovan. We got Symbiote Storm, Symbiote Captain America. Spider-Man finally got his symbiote suit, and his MVP animation is Aura personified. Next up, Death Stranding 2 has released, and from what I'm hearing, it's a top tier game.
That's what everyone said.
And I'm like, dang, I need to hop on. Madden 26 dropping in.
College football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's also dropping in August. Dying Light the Beast dropping August 22nd. As you mentioned, college football dropping soon.
It dropped yesterday.
Oh, dang. It was.
Yes.
You're about to catch me in the store because I've been listening on TikTok to like the leaks of the band soundtrack.
Boy,
they got the HBCUs out here in the studio just going crazy. I'm like, oh, nah, I need it. Gears of War is dropping on August 26th. And you know how it's an Xbox exclusive? Well, it's dropping on PS5 too.
Whoa.
It's huge.
Whoa. Xbox, what are we doing here?
y'all didn't lost another franchise to us. Just go ahead, pack it up. Borderlands 4, dropping September 12th. Silent Hill F, dropping September 25th. The Ghost of Yotei, dropping October 2nd.
They added a new hobbies mode. I forgot how to say it by his name, but it's like kind of like the lo-fi beats mode that you can play with, where it plays lo-fi beats when you're exploring. I just saw that on like X like 2 days ago.
Oh, I'm about to go crazy. I'm about to go crazy on that game.
Dude, we not going outside.
Nope. Fortunately, hey, my fiance gonna be with me throughout it all. Also, Pokemon Legends ZA drops October 16th. With the return of Mega Evolutions, let's get it. GTA 6 reportedly 2026. We don't know yet.
Allegedly, times three.
Yeah, allegedly, very allegedly. All right, in the realm of anime, this one's a lot.
It's a lot.
All right, so Demon Slayer: Infinity Castle, the first movie, drops July 18th in Japan, which means expected to be released in America very much later.
It's in September. I think it's September 12th.
Yeah, something like that. The Chainsaw Man movie drops September 19th. One Piece is staying out here. Kaiju number 8, July 19th, season 2. We out here. Dandadan season 2 didn't drop. Rising of the Shield Hero season 4 didn't dropped. My Hero Academia dropping the next season in October. One Punch Man season 3 dropped in October.
Oh, that's when it comes out?
Yes, it drops in October.
Yes.
Spy Family Season 3 drops in October as well.
I didn't know that. Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. We're eating in October. All right. Forget Halloween. It's all about anime. And now, here's the big news. Number one, we need to talk about it. James Carl Cathart. He's the voice of James, Professor Oak, and Meowth in Pokemon. He passed away earlier in the week at the time of this recording. Definitely want to give my ups to him. Just, hey, ran around the family, and just, hey, want to give my flowers there. Just know that, hey, we want to prepare for trouble, and you made sure you made it double. Yes. Just want to give my ups to him. So, yeah, just a quick moment for that. And then, and now let's wrap it up. Let's get into the biggest announcement of all. Toyo Taro, he talked about Dragon Ball.
Mm.
And he made the biggest announcements, which blew the floodgates right open. He stated, everything in Dragon Ball is canon.
Whoa.
Everything is canon.
So GT is back to canon?
GT is canon. All the movies are canon. Super is canon. Daima's canon. Super Dragon Ball Heroes is canon. Everything is canon.
So that means, like, the old Broly is canon. Dang, that's crazy.
Old canon and old and new Broly's are both canon. I'm out here, but y'all verses are not ready. CC Goku is up.
Oh, darn.
CC Goku up right now. We up 1-0. We up 1-0 against your favorite verse. Shang Jinwoo, you up now. It's like you may be the only one who can actually stand a margin of a chance. Shinra from Fire Force, yeah, you ain't standing no chance. Jin Mori, you ain't standing no chance. Hajun, you stand no chance against CC Goku. Sailor Moon, you stand no chance against CC Goku. Because how do you fight against a character who can fight against another character who has the potential to erase fiction itself? Yes, a character who threatens real life. Nah, y'all. Only get taken down by Goku. Nah. See, my goat. All right. Movies. Way too many movies are dropping.
Indeed.
Here's my list. All right. For those who like Tyler Perry, or those who are Madea Destination Wedding came out last week, just know that if you want to see the man cancel, don't watch it. There's a body horror movie called Together dropping July 30th. If you want to see that movie with your significant other, just have extreme caution with that one. Predator Badlands, November 7th. Also, I just realized that the actor who plays the young Predator, his name's Demetrius.
We up.
It's over. It's over. We're in the Predator franchise. Sure, he spells his name with two I's instead of two E's, but it doesn't matter. We up right now. Shrek 5, December 23rd of 2026. July 18th, we have the Smurfs movie that just came out with Rihanna, who plays Smurfette, if you're interested in that. Also, the same day as that, I Know What You Did, like Summer drops. So you know which one I'm going to. Fantastic Four, First Steps, July 24th, a very important movie. Another very important movie also released the similar day. This one specifically for my first lady. Happy Gilmore 2 drops on the 25th, so on Netflix. So I know we're gonna be watching that. Naked Gun, August 1st with Liam Neeson. I'm gonna be crying laughing.
We gotta see that one together.
Yep. For those who care, Freaky Friday 2 drops August 8th, as does the movie Weapons, which I am going to be seeing. Ain't no way. August 29th, The Toxic Avenger drops, the remake for that movie. Conjuring Last Rites, supposedly September 5th, the movie that I almost forgot to add to this list because I was like, hold on, when did this movie come out? Him. Drops September 19th. I will be watching. The Strangers Chapter 2, September 26th. Tron Aries, October 10th. Black Phone 2 drops October 17th. I will be watching. Another movie that I will have my butt glued to the seat for, Mortal Kombat 2, October 24th.
Nice.
Now You See Me 3 drops on my sister's birthday, November 14th. I have to make a choice. Actually, the choice is already made for me. Wicked 2. For all people who love the first Wicked, the second part drops November 21st. Zootopia 2 drops November 26th.
Dang, there's a lot going on.
Five Nights at Freddy's 2, December 5th. I will be glued.
to the seat. They're making a remake to Silent Night, Deadly Night, December 12th.
And then the last movie on the list is Avatar Fire and Ash, December 19th. All right, that's all I got.
Okay, I'm going to speed run this so we can wrap up and go home. So with that, well, as of this recording this week, Eddington, the Ari Aster movie, one of my favorite directors, director of Hereditary, Midsommar, and then also Bo is Afraid, that comes out this Friday. This Friday, as the episode release, going to have Pedro Pascal, Joaquin Phoenix, and a whole crew. So that's going to be a treat. That's going to be a trigger warning because it's kind of like taking place around, it's a parody-esque of what happened in 2020 and how people got weird with COVID and stuff like that. So stay off of Twitter with that movie. Okay, speed running. Oh, well, Odyssey, if you start going to certain movies, the Odyssey trailer started dropping. That's dropping, the new Christopher Nolan movie dropping next year in July. Yeah, because that played in front of my Superman movie.
Oh, dang, it did.
And I heard it's... Well, I also heard it's dropping in front of a lot of the Jurassic, the new Jurassic World movie as well. But okay, with anime, a lot, there's been the Anime Expo happened like 2 weeks ago. So a lot of new announcements specifically with 2026 happened. But just currently with it, Call of the Night season 2 is currently out. K-pop Demon Hunters, it's technically not an anime, but that's been one of the most popular movies on Netflix. The Summer Hikaru Died is something that is also on Netflix that has been really popular with people that have been streaming. Sakamoto Days is back as of this Monday, part 2 of that. Togepi's Original Sin, that has all the trigger warnings attached to it. Be careful. Do not watch this show with kids. That's all I will say. A lot going on. So with the Anime Expo, some announcements, mostly for 2026. Cyberpunk Edgerunner Season 2 got announced. It's currently in production with Netflix. Free Ren Season 2 got announced. Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War was late. I think it was supposed to come out this year. It's coming out next year, spring of 2026, for the final part of it. So the creator, Fullmetal Alchemist, he has a show coming out, I believe, next year called Daemons of the Shadow Realm, which should be interesting. Black Clover coming back next year for the season 2. I don't know how they're going to release it, if they are going to do it original, because basically the manga is as close to over as it can be. But super excited for Black Clover to come back. Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation looks like it went through a time skip, so that's coming back for a season 3. ReZero season 4 next year. Fist of the North Star is getting a remake.
Dang.
And then Beastars final season part 2 is coming out 2026. This transitions into my get it off your chest. We have got to stop splitting seasons. This is especially the final seasons. If you're going to split a final season, just call it like a, because Beastars is on third season, just call it season 3 and then call this part 2 season 4. There's no reason to split a final season. I know Attack on Titan did not start this, but they were one of the worst perpetrators of it, where they made the final season two seasons plus two movies and then wrapped it up in one movie. This has got to stop, because like, as I mentioned with Stranger Things, they broke it into three parts. Wednesday has been broken into two parts for season 2, even though the first season was perfectly fine as one part. So I don't know where this started. It needs to stop. That's all I'll say.
Dang. All I say is that is, I mean, yeah, when you think about it, you're right. Way too much.
There's no reason to do it. Just call it a different season. Because, like, even with Squid Game, season 3 of Squid Game is just season 2 of Squid Game.
Yep. Literally, it just picks up exactly where season 2 left off.
So yeah, we need to, and it was already filmed and shot, so we just need to stop doing that. It's so annoying and takes you out of the show. So that was a lot. Again, next week, we'll be covering worst power scaling in anime. So let's get the plugs and get up out of here.
All right. So Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, and Threads under BlairCD22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on all notifications. We also got our Discord linked in the Instagram page for Pure Degeneracy. We have our YouTube and Patreon under Blurred City Pod. You want to donate some extra cheddar, get access to very exclusive episodes never before seen. We also have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. If you want to support us or you want to send emails dedicating like, hey, certain topics or your thoughts on the Superman movie, go ahead. And if you want to send hate mail, that goes to the spam folder, never see the light of day, get packed up. Finally, I am the Jedi born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. However long we got TikTok left before they swap over to the American version. What you got?
All right. For my individual author pages, we have my Instagram at Mitri_dash. For my X/Twitter, which may not exist considering how Grok been operating lately on Twitter. That is at TheMad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. So with that, we will leave you some words of encouragement.
All right. So for my words of encouragement is that if you hate somebody, hate them like Kendrick hates Drake. Hate him like how Reverse Flash hates Barry. Hate how Lex Luthor hates Superman, because the level of petty that you will need in order to go against your ops it will never be enough. So go ahead and hate to the best of your ability.
And for me, I will say that sometimes it's easy to see the differences in others because of XYZ looks, personality traits, and everything. And it's easy to miss the humanity in people. But with that, if you're able to recognize that, it's easier to connect. So as we always say, it's not goodbye forever. It's goodbye for now. The Splitter City Podcast.
See ya later.